Is there anybody would like to take back and retract that? All right. I'm glad you are. You know, this doesn't happen very often, but I've come prepared, and I've been asking the Lord since I've got into the service, Lord, am I in your will? And I don't like that feeling when that happens to me, because I know most of the time just know right where I'm going, what I feel God's design is, and what His plan is. And this morning I feel a check. And when I feel a check like this, I have to obey. There's just no other way around it. So I ask that you not judge my original intents. My intent this morning was I was going to take you back to Corinthians, and from 12 to 14, I was going to deal with the vocal gifts of the Holy Spirit that are in the body. And we've already covered the Holy Spirit Himself. We've covered the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus said, John baptized with water, but I will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We've covered that. And then I wanted to take you into the gifts of the Spirit. So I took you into the revelation gifts. Do you remember those? The revelation gifts, gift of the word of knowledge, and the gift of the word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. And then we took you into the power gifts of the Holy Spirit. There is the gift of faith that actually unlocks, so often it unlocks the next gifts, the gifts of miracles and the gift of healing. And so we've covered these, and this morning I was going to open and go into the last gifts of those that are spoken in the book of Corinthians, and I wanted to deal with those verbal gifts, vocal gifts, and they're marvelous gifts. The gift of prophecy, the gift of tongues, and the gift of interpretation of tongues. Unless the Lord checks and corrects me again, I will probably do that next Sunday, I'm sure. But this morning, I need to ask if you will consider, I need you to go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 22. I am asking that you will pray with me and pray that God's will be done, that He will do exactly what He wants to do this morning. And so we will just pray that the Spirit of the Lord will have His way. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Join me as we pray. Father, I want to thank You. Thank You for the wonderful privilege that we have to be able to come and to open Your Word and to recognize that, Lord, Your Word describes what the gospel does and what the gospel is. We recognize that few are chosen, yet many were called. And I pray that, Lord, that the call of salvation would go out even this morning to many. However, the few that may be continuing to wonder if they have ever been chosen, may they this morning recognize that they can inherit the kingdom of God as well. And I pray that the responding to God's grace, that wonderful free exercise of our will to come to grace and to realize that Jesus, You laid Your life down a ransom. You literally laid Your life down that we might know You as the Savior. I thank You. Lord, it was already spoken here earlier, and I think it's so true. God, if we knew that tonight was our last evening, how might we deal and what might we do with this day? I pray that, Lord, that we would freely exercise our will to come running to our God and to come humbly before our God and to do what You have laid upon our hearts, Lord, to serve You with everything in us. Now, Lord, this word that You've given me, it came to me as we were already in worship this morning. I had no idea. But I'm going to just minister as You lay on my heart. I'm going to bring to pass and remember what You have spoken to me in years past. Whatever is the design, I ask it to be done. And these are things we ask in Jesus' name, and together we say,
Amen.
Amen. So did you find your way to the 22nd chapter of Matthew? All right. I wish I had a whole bunch of notes, But sometimes I guess you just have to use your Bible. So how about that? Praise God. So I'd like us to gather in this 22nd chapter, and I want you to recognize that as we gather, that this is a pretty amazing chapter in this regard. It speaks, Jesus answered in verse 1 and spake to them again in parables. You know, when Jesus spoke in parables, he recognized that a lot of times they would never understand the kingdom unless it was in parables. And so that's how he did. In this particular area, in chapter 22, he's speaking of a certain in heaven. It's like a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he went forth and his servants and called those that were bidden to the wedding that they would come. And so in this preparation of the dining and those that were entreated to come, he made it into a parable to understand. When I go on a little further, I want to bring you to chapter 22:15. Then went the Pharisees and they took counsel how they might entangle Jesus in his talk. I mean, let's be honest. You and I are chosen to be sons and daughters. These guys, they were chosen to disrupt Jesus and to stop his flow. They had one desire, and that was a desire to be able to plot and to plan and to snare Jesus in their hearts and in all that they had. Verse 16 says, and they sent unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know you are true. Yeah, right, they know that. And that you teach the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for you regard not the person of men. Now, I'd like for you really to begin pay attention beginning in verse 17. Because the Pharisees have sent their army. They sent the Herodians. They've sent the scribes. They've sent out all of these guys to disrupt him. They start out by catching his attention in verse 16 saying, we know the way of God is in truth, and you are a great teacher. But they didn't care for that. They had come into the life of Jesus at this particular time when he was declaring the word through parables. They came to trip him up. Verse 17. So now as we begin to read together, listen to this plot that's been laid. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? I mean, stop question mark. Can you imagine asking Jesus, what do you think? Consider where Jesus could go with that. Think about how he could go into the cosmos and he could speak at all that he has created and how all of the planets and all of the stars, he has named them by name. He could go into our body. And he could speak of every organ and every tissue. He could speak of how that we even have a magnetic pull within our body. There are so many marvelous things. The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. How many know that's true? And for these guys to say to Jesus, excuse me, what thinkest thou? Are you kidding me? Were you there when I laid the foundation of the earth? Were you there when I spoke to the waters and I gave them a boundary and I said, you cannot exceed the boundary anymore. We'll call you oceans. I think that's kind of silly to ask Jesus such an amazing question. Verse 17, it says, tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? And then they begin to ask this question. Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? You need to know at this point that even as a Jew, you had to give tribute to Caesar. You need to understand that they couldn't just give tribute to Moses for the temple, and Moses is not alive at this point, but towards Moses and for the temple, they had to start, first of all, because Caesar in Rome, Caesar is the God, the Lord over all the earth at that point, as far as man is concerned, and you cannot give tribute to anyone else but starting with Caesar. Do you understand that? Kind of like we've got this little program, it's just a little program, it's called IRS. Have you ever heard of that before? How many wish you had not heard of IRS? We have that on camera. Turn that off, please. No, I'm kidding. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful? Now, catch the word they use. Is it lawful? What do they mean? Is it lawful as far as Rome is concerned? Is it lawful as far as the laws of Moses is concerned? To give tribute to Caesar or not? So this is the main question. Jesus, we want to know from you, is it lawful, is it truly lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? What are they trying to do? They want him to say, yes, you are to give tribute to Caesar to irritate all of Jewry. All of the Jews would become irritated. Did you hear what Jesus has said? He said, give the tribute to Caesar and not to the temple. Or they want him to say, no, it's not lawful to give tribute that direction to Caesar. What we do as Jews, we give it to the temple because we know this is God's house. Can you see the melee? Can you see where Jesus is? I mean, he's in quite a quandary, huh? Somehow I just have this feeling that Jesus can get out of this. How about you? Yep. It says, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? So this is the setting. Verse 18, but Jesus perceived their wickedness. And he said, why do you tempt me, you hypocrites? Say hypocrites. Hypocrites. Don't say that usually to people. But doesn't it sound good to say that word once in a while? Hypocrites. Why do you tempt me, you hypocrites? Show me the tribute of money. And they brought him a penny. I honestly came up here without a penny. I don't have a penny in my pocket. I don't even have a dollar in my wallet. So depending on what you want to give me, a penny or $100, $200, what? Give me some money. I need some money. Who's got a penny? No, got to be a penny. That's five. Well, maybe a five we can have. No, I'm kidding. Got to have a penny. A penny. Whoa, that is a real penny. That's really copper. And so Jesus says to them, he says, show me a penny. I don't know if they all dug in their pockets. I'm not sure how it works. But they showed him a penny, and they handed it to him. Maybe it went from one to the other to the other to the hand of Jesus. Read this with me, please. Verse 19, show me the tribute of money. And they brought him a penny. Look what verse 20 says. And he said unto them, whose is this image? So in other words, he says, all right, thank you for the penny. But he says, here, I want you to know, whose image is on this penny? Abraham Lincoln wasn't existing then. Show me whose image is on this penny. And they said, well, of course, it is Caesar's. And then he says, and whose superscription is on this penny? We say in America, in God we trust. And when he asked that, he said to them, whose image? What he meant was, whose likeness is on this penny? And then he says, and whose superscription, whose name is on this penny? Well, I'm not sure they realized they were being set up yet. But all of a sudden, they say unto him, well, it's Caesar's. It's Caesar's image, his likeness. It's Caesar's superscription. It's his name. And Jesus says, well, you have answered. And they say to him, Caesar, and he said unto them, then he uses this amazing word. It's a six-letter word. And he uses the word render. And he says unto them, then render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. This is the part that I love. I had no idea that I was preaching this morning. I didn't. Not until I was standing right back there. And all of a sudden when he says, whose image is on it? And they said, well, it's Caesar's. Whose superscription is on it? It's Caesar's. Well, you know, Jesus wouldn't have answered that way. Whose image is on it? Caesar's. Whose superscription is on it? His name. Well, it's Caesar. Augustus. And Jesus says, render. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. The word render, it means give back to. So, he says this. Give back to Caesar. You can have it. No, wait, I still need it. Give back to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And give to God what is God's. And this is the part that I want you to hear before you go home today. I think this is what Jesus was really saying. All right. Give back to Caesar what Caesar is big enough to put his picture on. Caesar is only big enough to put his picture on a coin. So give back to Caesar what he is big enough to put his picture on, and where his authority is enough to put his name on. But give back to God what God can put his picture on. And give back to God where he puts his name. Give back to God where he puts his image. The Bible says that we were made in the image of God. And I think Jesus is saying, give back to Caesar what he put his picture on, and give back to Caesar what he put his name on. Just take that old penny and give it back to him. But give back to God what he has put his image on. That is you. And you, and you, and you, and you. That is us-ins. If you were in Arkansas, we would all say, that's us-ins. Right? And Jesus is saying, and give back to God what he puts his picture on. Give back to God what he has written his name all over and what he wrote his name on. That I am a son of God. I've been made in his image. Church, this morning, I just want to tell you this in great simplicity. There are a lot of things contending for you in your life. There are things that want you, literally, they want you to be able to just take and let their image be over your life. They want their superscription to be over your career, your heart, your desires, the things that you do. And it's so easy to say, okay, go, here am I, take me, use me, here am I. And yet the Lord says, have none of that. Let me put my image upon you. That I put my image upon, it is mine. Say mine. I own where I put my image. I own where my life is. I own what I've done. Lynn, you don't look like me necessarily, but you have been made in my image. Therefore, you are mine and I am yours. I am your God. And I just want to tell you this morning, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And render to God what is God's. So if I'm going to give back to God what is his, I have to kind of start here. I have to start here. And I have to render back to God what he owns. Because he owns me. He owns my life. He owns my heart. So therefore, if he has made me his in his image, I give back to him what is his. You know what? I'll give this to you in a minute, Deborah. But I want to just show you this. I don't mean to be flippant, but I want you to realize how flimsy this whole thing is. Give back to Caesar what he can put his picture on. Because that's the only thing he can put his picture on. That's the only place he can write his name. But render back to God what he can put his picture on and where he can put his name. And that is you. And that is your children. And that is your family. Render to Caesar what's Caesar's. Render to God what is God's. And watch what'll happen. You and I will never be the same again. I have to close with this. Go back to chapter 22. Verse 20, and they said to him, whose is this image, he said, and superscription? And they say to him, Caesar's. Then said he unto them, render, pay back, give back, therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render unto God the things that are God's. Verse 22, when they had heard these words, when you have heard these words, has nothing to do with me. When you heard this, what have you done with it? It says in verse 22, when they, the Pharisees, the scribes, all of these people that had come to try to trip Jesus up, when they heard these words, they marveled. And they left him. And they went his way, their way. In just a moment, you will leave here. And you will go your way. I want to tell you what I think is the greatest thing you can do this morning. I just believe it was from God. I had no choice but to do this. I wrestled. That's why I was stuttering up here trying to figure out what to do next. But I believe that God spoke to my heart that what you must do and I must do is we must render and give back to the Lord what is His. And it starts with me. Come unto the Lord. Amen? When you leave this place, you may leave it today marveling that God has put His hand upon you and put His arms about you and has drawn you back to Him or drawn you near to Him or has just simply said, you are mine. So don't leave stunned like the Pharisee trying to go, what did he say? If you have to leave stunned, that he loves you. Yeah. And that you belong to him. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Would you bow your heads with me? Yeah. My Father. In Romans it says, we cry, Abba, Father. Oh, Lord. Lord, we love you this morning. It is not by chance that we are here. Lord, it wasn't by chance that you told me to go back into Matthew and to preach this passage. It was because you have those who you love so much who bear your image as children of God, as just people of the earth. Lord, your image is upon us. Therefore, may we render and give back to you what is yours. Lord, it's not a penny. It's not a tribute of taxes. We give back to you what you own. Therefore, you died for what you own. You shed your blood on the cross of Calvary for what you own. You raised the third day victorious in resurrection over what you own. And today, you have written our name in heaven to everyone that confesses you as Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving us. And I would ask that, Lord God, that if anyone here today needs to say to you, Jesus, I know I'm here because I want you to be ownership of my life. I pray that, Lord, that you will so move their heart right now. And may they be willing to surrender that part, which is them, to you for a lifetime. Father, these are things we pray and ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So I'll ask the question.